Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, it's me, Victoria. I hope you're well. I hope today finds you in a jolly good mood. I know I'm excited, I'm exuberant, I'm thrilled, I am all of the things, because I wrote a book, and it's being published. And I can't believe, really, that's real yet, even though I've known about this for a few months now at this point. And it's coming out August 27th to all anywhere you buy your books. And it is going to be mainly a digital release, so you will have to get your digital devices out for this one. And it is available for pre-order as of today. You can pre-order it on the Kindle store, both in the US and Canada, and probably elsewhere. It just might take a little bit longer for it to go live. You can search it, The Witch and the Stag by Victoria Rogers. And it's also on Apple Books, and it should be on Barnes & Noble and Kobo, and it will be available as an EPUB as well. Be warned, this is a romance and it does contain smut. So if you're underage, please give this a pass. So yeah, I'm excited and I'm very happy about it. So anyway, that's my big announcement. Okay, let's get to it.
The Broads have said farewell to Cawen, and they find themselves in an abandoned town, a place where refugees have run from. And it is here that they spend their night. You're listening to The Broadswords.
When you are out on the road camping, what is Maypri's routine?
It's usually to try and do as much at once, which kind of results in a bedroll that's half unrolled, a fire that's half started. One of our traveling pots has been taken out, but no water is in it. It's Maypri trying to do her best to help out, but mostly getting in the way.
And where does Maypri sleep when you're camping out in the ref?
I like to imagine that we have like one tent for the three of us, but Maypri doesn't mind sleeping outside. Plus, she's pretty good at like hearing things, keeping an ear out rather than keeping an eye out. So while the three of us will still sleep and not really keep watch, Maypri's on the outside, kind of keeping watch.
So you're not keeping watch during a war?
I think Maypri might have fallen asleep a couple of times. We're gonna hear bandits sneaking up on us. We have fought the unkillable, it feels like. We're not worried about bandits. Now I'm worried, but I wasn't until now.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. What can I use that information for?
Oh no.
All right, so you're sleeping outside by the fire, and I think we see an overhead view of Maypri asleep. And the camera pans directly closer, zooms in until we have a whoosh and we are inside Maypri's head.
Oh no. It's scary in here.
You see in your dreams. We all see in your dreams. Where is Maypri's favorite place, scenery-wise?
I think there are a couple that stand out to her. The docks of Waterdeep, the dusty rolling hills, the desert hills of Mulhallrind. Probably there are some really, really memorable back alleys in Mulhallrind that she often kind of thinks about. And there's a park in Sigil where she can just lay on the grass and look up at the sky. And that place became a fan favorite from her time there.
We see a swirl of sand, and there is you, a much younger you, standing on a hill, surveying the valley below. And then there's a bit of a mirage that comes into view. But it's not of water. This is a woman in a green gown with a cream sash about her waist. And she has long, curly brown hair. And upon her face is a stag mask. She stands over a cauldron that bubbles and smoke emanates from steam. And she looks up at you directly into your eyes and smiles.
Do I have the form of Kid Me? Or was that another mirage?
That is entirely up to you.
I like that idea that in Maypri's dreams, she still sees herself not quite a kid, but like that age where she finally escaped her home city. What are you making in there? And could I try some? I would like to ask the woman with the stag mask in front of me.
She looks down to stir the cauldron before looking up back at you. This would take you on a journey. Would you be prepared for that?
A journey in what sense?
A journey deep into yourself.
With a slow nod of her head, Maypri will agree.
She dips a wooden ladle into the cauldron and pours some of the steaming liquid into a plain wooden chalice.
What does it smell like?
It smells like herbs.
I want to take like a tiny, like just a tiny taste before she drinks it. What does it taste like?
It tastes like herby water. Like
a green tea?
Like a weak tea.
Okay. She'll look down at the drink. Oh, okay, this is not bad at all. And drink it back in one swig.
All right. I kind of want to make you roll for constitution for drinking steaming hot water.
My priest drank worse and hotter things, no doubt.
But yeah, well, I won't get that into the weeds. All right. And Yelbruna looks back at you, and you can see her quirk of a smile from below her mask. And she takes the chalice back. You will need all the courage you possess for what is to come. Do you possess it?
Yeah. I've got so much courage. I mean, look at how far I've come.
What are you willing to give up?
Give up for what?
When it comes down to it, what are you willing to do to see it done?
Oh, that. I think I'm ready to give up everything. I really have worked. My friends and I have worked so hard to get here, and I would be willing to sacrifice everything, especially if it meant that they could live and we accomplish our task. I'm ready.
I am glad. Close your eye.
Okay.
When was the first time Maypri stood up for herself?
Oh gosh. I think her first memory was 5 years old, standing up to a priest who was belittling another one of the... what are people called who work in churches? Would we just be, like, were we just servants?
Yeah,
it's like little
sort
people
of
who
servants.
Ran things around. Okay. Yeah, he belittled a servant in front of a whole crew of people. And it wasn't so much the choice words. It was his actions that Maypri could not stand. And in the end, she took that servant's place in the punishment. And ever since then, standing up has been her middle name.
You see that scene. Play before you, little Maypri, saying no. What? You dare speak to me?
This isn't right. You can't hurt people like that.
Do you care about this person so much?
Yes, I do.
Then you'll take their place.
What?
Prepare her.
And cue the screams and the fighting back.
The scene changes and morphs. And here we see a moment when Maypri has doubted herself. What was that? What is the biggest moment Maypri has ever had in her life where she has doubted herself so much that she's been very low?
Right before Maypri joined the caravan where she met Ylaris and Keela, she had been traveling for a long time. A long time alone. Sure, she met travelers and made some friends along the road, but nobody ever stayed. Everybody had their own goals, their own roads to take, none which followed Maypri's. And there's only a certain amount of loneliness that one person can handle before they have to question if what they're doing is even worth it. Meeting Keela and Ylaris meant so much more to Maypri than she could ever, ever tell them.
We see Maypri asleep in a haystack, tears staining her cheeks, alone again. It rains. Water trickles through the barn roof. It's cold.
I think of how she would react in this situation. I mean, the environment really, really reflects how she's feeling, and sleeping on hay is not comfortable. And I think she would just curl up into a fetal position and kind of cry into her knees. I don't know if I can keep doing this. I just met a really cool wizard on the road, and saying goodbye is the hardest thing. I don't know how many more goodbyes I could handle. And she goes back to crying into the hay.
There's another shimmer as the image awashes its light and color.
and we have a feeling wash up throughout you first before we see anything. And it is one of happiness. What is one of Maypri's happiest memories?
I think, can I pick memories from like current times?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it absolutely has to be her stay in Sigil with Keela, Yularis, and Yularis Jr. Especially after Yularis Jr. was kind of like brought into the family and Maypri was still covering all the doorknobs and butter. She's never really been a part of a home, much less a family, but that time in Sigil was the most that she's ever felt like she was a part of something, like something permanent.
The scene changes. And it is a Maypri right before she met up with the caravan at Rashomon.
Okay.
Maypri is at camp by herself, out near a pond. And as you prepare for sleep, you hear a long wail.
Hello? Is anybody out there? Are you okay?
Help me.
Yeah, I'll be right there. Just keep talking and let me follow the sound of your voice.
Help me. I can't breathe.
Just keep... You're doing great. You're gonna be okay. I got you.
And I'm gonna run in whatever direction I hear that voice.
And that is toward the pond.
Okay.
And there you see a woman with long dark hair in the middle of the pond, arms reaching upward, her face just breaking the surface.
You know Maypri is going to rush to help wade through that water. She's crushed by the idea that her only value to people is her ability to help. This is her chance to prove her worth to yet somebody else.
All right. So what's that like as you go out into the water to get her?
I feel like we only have moonlight to kind of cast some light down. So with like the ripples through the water, Maypri is like, doesn't even take her boots off. She just rushes in until the resistance of the water slows her down. And then with arms up, just keep your head up. You got this, okay? Kick your legs. I know kicking legs is very good in water. You got this.
And until eventually she starts to swim to make her way to the center of that pond.
As you reach her, her arms reach out towards you. But strangely, her hair begins to wrap around your limbs. We're rolling for initiative.
13.
Okay. You go first.
There's a lot of flailing, a lot of sputtering. Of water, and I'm going to use my action to talk.
What are you trying to do? I just wanted to help. What's going on?
Come into the depths.
I don't want to go into the water. I'm not ready. Just because I cried all day doesn't mean I want to drown.
I mean, I will attack now that I have an understanding of what's happening. Does a 24 hit?
Yeah, it does.
And a 12, does that hit?
No.
Okay. Oh, ignore the 8. I think how this looks then is like we're fighting on water. Mm-hmm. Maypri is treading water to try and stay afloat. One of her hands is just trying to like bat off the hair that is encircling her limbs. And then with her free hand, you know, she really fumbles the grabbing of her glaive. And it just, she slaps water, really. It doesn't even come close to this creature. And then the second hit just like slices across maybe like her chest, something that's like slightly above water, maybe her cheek.
Okay, and how much damage?
Three. It was a glancing blow. Yeah, it really wasn't a whole lot.
Like a shallow blow across her collarbone.
Okay, and I think for now, that'll be my turn.
For now, that's my turn.
I got plans.
All right. She is going to claw at you with both of her hands. It's just like, dig those nails in. That is a 15.
That meets my armor class.
Okay. And then 15 again. So no.
So close, but not quite.
Not quite. But her hair, she also gets multi-attack here, so...
Oof.
Yeah,
oof.
Yeah, I know.
Also, that sounds kind of glamorous.
Her hair is going to wrap around you, trying to do some slashing damage. Oh my gosh, I am not rolling well at all. That is a 10.
Nah.
Which does not do it. She screeches in frustration as you're able to maneuver your way out of her emotions. It is your turn.
Oof. I think after finally seeing that she's attacking, like this is true, this is real. And after having the day that Maypri had, she's empty of any more sad feelings. All that remains is a desire to do, a desire to be. She just wants to be something so much more than she is right now. And that passion, while trying to keep her head above water, taking in water, it burns your nose. She is going to rage.
Understandable.
And anybody kind of watching from the shores would just see a bunch of flailing limbs and then eventually a guttural scream as she just lets out all of that pent-up motion that she wasn't allowing herself to feel. And let's do another multi-attack. So 17 and 23 to hit.
Both hit.
That'll be for a total of 13 damage. Hold on, I didn't add the 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 damage. Dang.
Nice. And what does that look like, that attack?
I think Maypri... Is this a two-handed weapon? Have I ever looked into that?
Yeah.
My brain says it is. Yeah, it is. So attacking with one hand on a two-handed weapon is just not doable. But kind of like a calmness comes over Maypri after she lets out that roar. And with that kind of calmness of mind and calmness of body, she's able to keep her legs treading water underneath her. And with both hands grasped around this glaive, she's able to deliver accurate slashing blows across the face and across the hair of this creature.
Mm-hmm. And a clump of hair comes falling into the water, and the woman shrieks. And again, she claws at you, trying to grasp your neck and dig her thumbs into the soft bits.
Nice. Gosh, I need my neck to breathe. Come on, lady.
Oh, gosh, that is 15 again with one hand. Oh, that's 17 plus 6, so 23.
Oof, that one hits for sure.
All right, and then so that is her other claw. So the one finger she manages to stab you with. So that is 11 points of slashing damage with her claw, but then her hair is also going to try to slash you. And okay. That is a 16.
That hits.
That is 6 points of slashing damage.
Okay. Oof. All right. This isn't really going in Mapri's favor. Those hands around her neck, the inability to feel her footing underground, like underneath, and fighting in water, this is nothing that she wanted. All she ever wanted was to help those who couldn't help themselves, to be a part of something bigger, something greater than herself. And yet, time and time again, this is what she ends up doing. Now, with my bonus, she's gonna frenzy a little bit, or a lot. And now these attacks, they're getting more precise. Oh, no, they're not. What are these nines? Two nines and an eight. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my word. That doesn't do it. So I think with that thumb in your neck digging in and cutting through your flesh, you're not having a good time of it.
Oh, gosh, it's getting harder to breathe.
She's getting you, and the water is getting into your mouth, and you're having a very difficult time because you are now considered... no, she didn't get it with her hair. Yeah, she got you with her hair. You're considered grappled in her hair, so you find it difficult to move now, even to struggle to stay up. And it's her turn again. Oh, that's a one.
So no.
The other claw, as she tries to dig in, that is a 16.
That hits.
That's 11 points of slashing damage.
Oh my gosh.
And then her hair will try to go at you. And that is 18.
Oh yeah, that hits.
That's 9 points of slashing damage. So her hair is now underwater, snaking about your legs, making it difficult for you to even tread that water. You are fully grappled in her hair.
If I could have like a scene where she pulls me underwater and I want like this underwater struggle to try and break free.
Okay, yeah. So she's wrapped around especially with those rolls before, she's wrapped around you. You can no longer move your legs to tread water. So you begin to sink and she's pulling you, weighing you down.
Is it a strength saving throw or strength check against yours?
It's a strength contest.
Okay. I got a 17. Have I mentioned that I'm strong?
Friend, I got a 21.
No! Oh my gosh! Oh no! Oh no!
You are beneath the surface of the water, struggling, and you are not doing well. It is her turn again.
Gosh, they're like those bubbles, like where people are underwater and they try to like speak, but they only have so much water and those bubbles just come out of their mouth. Ugh.
Okay, I got a 9 and an 11. I don't think those work. But her hair, I do get to try for. I got a natural 20, friend.
Oh no!
Yes, I did.
What if Mapri dies in this? What happens then?
We'll figure that out.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, how much damage? Let's see.
I'm afraid.
Only 6 points.
Okay. Total or doubled?
Oh, it's doubled. 12.
Okay, 12.
Could be worse.
I mean, it could, but I'm also officially less than half health. And I don't think I've hit less than half health for most of our campaign.
You fell once.
Did I?
Yeah, against the dragon. Didn't you?
I have a vague memory of that. I don't think so. We kicked ass against the black dragon.
No, someone fell. I think
if it was anybody, it was probably me. I tank. That is my purpose.
All right, it's your turn.
Oh gosh, I got a grapple to get out. You know, the Shaw underwater where, is it a cleanish lake? Are we talking like blue water here?
No, this is murky, gross, pondish water.
Nice. Okay. So it's not even like a clear shot of us underwater as Mapri is just struggling, like retching her body and jerking it left and right to try and break free, but to no avail. And she is running out of breath. That tightness in her chest is just getting stronger and stronger, and that burning sensation is getting harder and hotter.
So let's roll that strength.
12.
Well, I rolled a 6.
Okay.
Oh. Trying to think, how does she break free then? Oh, does she have any sharp weapons on her? No, but she's got a horn. Is her horn strong enough? Okay, here's what's gonna happen. Maypri, there's like that moment that you always get in these kind of scenes where all hope is lost, and she knows that if she lets go of that one last breath in her chest, that's it. There is no more air. This is it. There's like that, like that darkness is kind of covering up her vision around the edges. And then it comes to her. She's got a really hard head. So with the strength and the force of will that she has, she headbutts this creature, stunning it just enough so like it loosens like the hair around her legs and around her ankles. And then with a mighty wiggle, she's able to pull herself and then kick at the chest of this creature and like do some really cool underwater flips and try and swim her way back to the surface.
All right. Roll d20 that add your strength.
You want my strength again?
Yeah, for your hit butt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Does a 19 hit?
19 hits.
What is like a 1d4?
Yeah, but well, you're raging, so you can add your...
Plus 2? 6 damage total. It is a good headbutt.
But that the hair retracts from your legs as you headbutt her, and you can see the blood merging with the murky water as it pours out of her broken nose.
Metal.
And she releases your neck with that, and so now she's going to try to scratch at your face with her hands. That is a 13.
Okay, nope.
21.
Ugh, yeah. So do we both break the surface, or is she going at me under the water?
Yes, you rise to the surface, and she comes up in a burst of water and a splash and scratches at your face. Once, misses because you move, and then the second time, she gets you for 6 points of damage.
Oof. I'm all kinds of scratched up. I'm gonna get some kind of sickness after being in this water, too. Ugh.
And for her hair, I rolled a 7 plus 6. That is 13, so that doesn't do it. She is discombobulated with the broken nose, and she now has, like, blood gushing down her mouth and down her chin and down, like, the underside of her chin. As it drips down her neck into her dress.
All right. Is she wearing like a multi-layered white dress, like that beige kind of color?
Yeah, like a linen.
Yeah. Yeah. Classic. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm going to do the only thing that feels right, and that's defend myself with violence. 1, 2, 3. These are bad rolls. A 9, a 10, and an 8.
None of them do anything.
Maypri's feeling tired. And not enough air. There's not enough air. Not enough oxygen. Her brain is starting to feel a little fuzzy.
13 and 14 is what I rolled for her claws. They miss. That brings us to a 14 with her hair. Again, she is crying now. She is wailing. Her shrieks are echoing throughout this area.
I think there's just a lot of us like slapping the water and missing over mm-hmm. and over. God, this is a water workout if I've ever heard of one.
We got a 21 and a 15. Those are both good.
There we go. Let's just not look at that 7, please. All right. That's going to be 8 and 17 damage. 17 damage total. This is with two of her slashing attacks that hit. And gosh, I need moves that are going to Like, there's absolutely a moment in Maypri's brain where she recognizes that she's getting tired. And in order to be able to succeed at this kind of a battle, she's going to have to... I mean, she's raging and angry, but there's a tiny part inside of her brain that recognizes that she has to be able to attack while using the least amount of movement possible. Like, she's starting to feel cramps in her legs as she's continuing to tread water. And with her glaive above her head, she's going to spin it with her two hands and, using that motion, slash at the creature in front of her.
You slash and it rips a bloody gash in her to her bodice. She screams. She is in rough looking shape at this point.
All right. Come at me!
Dirty 20 and a 14.
Oof, okay, one of those hit.
5 points of slashing as one of her nails catches you just underneath the eye. And her hair is 14, does not do it. Her hair has been cut by the glaive in a couple places. And so when she goes to reach out for you, there's no length to her hair that to control. Your turn.
All right. Hoping for one final assault.
Oh, yes. Wow. Read those numbers out, everyone.
A 19. A 21 and a nat 20 plus 6, which makes it a nice 26. Did it just math that all for
yes,
me?
Yes, it did for your critical.
That's beautiful.
So 16 plus 11 is 27 plus 3 is 30 points of
32.
Oh, because to add your...
my rage. Wow. Wow, gosh.
What does that look like? What does it look like? I mean, you're taking her down.
It's okay. I'm gonna take some liberties with this. She's able to kind of slash me with her nail, and her fingernail catches, and it hurts. Maypri is cut up, and the water is kind of stinging some of her wounds, and she's just so tired. So as soon as that creature misses her last hair attack, there's a split second while Maypri is kind of holding tightly onto her glaive, or she just lets her feet fall still, and she begins to sink under the water. And then with tucking her glaive under one armpit, she's able to kind of pull herself down underwater a little bit. And then with a good crack to her shoulder, she starts to swim upwards, gathering as much momentum as possible. But she has her glaive underneath her and she's only using her feet to propel her. Her goal is to slice this creature in half from the water up. And it's... not a practice move by any stretch of the imagination, but with her strong legs, she's able to heave herself through this water, and the drag of the glaive isn't that much as she's able to finally, like, slice this creature once upward and then again downward, and then for one final horizontal slice, hopefully killing this creature and filling this gross lake with dead body water.
And the scene shimmers and warps. You stand on top of a mountain peak, on a ritual circle towering in the sky above the Vremyani stronghold.
This is very new. Little chilly up here. What's going on around me?
You see your friends Keela and Gilaris. And there is a great roar.
I look up towards the sky.
And thank you for joining us on a little Maypri journey. We will be back on, 2 weeks from now? That will be the 16th. The 16th. All right. Well, see you next time. she looks up at you as you approach her after hold on. Repeat. Let's ignore that because that makes no sense. She was staring directly in your eyes. Why would she look up at you? Okay. Sorry, Ryan. This is just how this is going to be. Sorry. I should have written. I thought we would take longer. I don't have enough stuff.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I just need to get something. Sorry, Ryan, you're just gonna have to cut all this out. Oh, wait, wrong die.
Please don't roll a d20 for damage.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.